What a wonderful hymn, and we'll talk a little bit more about it later. Our passage tonight is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. But let's start in verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Philetus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's profitable for teaching. As we look at your word tonight, we pray that we would learn the lessons that are contained in this passage. We thank you for good examples that we can follow and bad examples that we should avoid. So we just pray that you would open up our minds and hearts to receive your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled our study tonight, The Blessing of a Good Friend. The Blessing of a Good Friend. These verses do have a contrast. They start off with the negative, but then most of the verses deal with the positive. And I think it's interesting to look at the context of these verses. Previously, we read about holding on to the Word of God. There's some things in our lives that we have control over, that we can hold on to, and friends are not one of those things. Or at least we shouldn't be trying to manipulate friendships and relationships. But we can hold on to the Word of God. And so I think it's significant that these verses follow that command from Paul saying, hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me and guard the good thing entrusted to you. Those are things we all can do. Doesn't matter if people like us, if we're popular. We have the Word of God. God's given it to all who would listen. And so I think that it's significant that these verses follow that. Looking at the negative then, Paul seems shocked that there are these people, Phygellus and Hermogenes, that even they, probably people that had been close to him, have deserted him. Everybody, that's not so surprising until it includes this group of people. And yet, we shouldn't be shocked by that either, because as we go through the Bible, we see examples. For example, we've read about David and how David was abandoned by close friends. He says in Psalm 41:9, even somebody that I broke bread with has abandoned me. So even people who might have been part of his household, trusted, loyal people, have abandoned him. And we remember why that was. Things weren't going too well for him at that point. And so that is a reason, just like with Paul, why people would abandon him. Who wants to admit that they're friends with somebody in a prison, probably going to be executed? That's probably not somebody you want to associate with. And so we have this idea of fair weather friends, or people who stick with us while everything's going well. But as soon as some kind of hardship or difficulty occurs, then they abandon us. And so these are the negative examples that we don't want to follow, because we want to be good friends, not bad friends. We can think about Jesus' disciples when he said, "Hey, could you pray?" And instead they found themselves overcome with sleep. There are so many examples. And Jesus, whom we've just sung about, we don't often think of him as a friend. And yet he is an amazing and wonderful friend, as well as being our Savior and our Lord. Proverbs 18:24 is a good verse. Let's look at that one. A man with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. And some people have thought that this verse has messianic undertones to it. But the two parts of the verse show the contrast. Many friends aren't very useful, because those people are probably only your friends because there's something in it for them. But it's the person with a friend who stays closer than a brother, that's the person who's in a good position. And we can think about this in the world. What happens to an athlete who isn't a star athlete anymore? They get forgotten and pushed aside because it's the next person who's batting 500 that everybody wants to talk about, not the has-been from last year. And you can apply that to any situation. You know, it's today's billionaires that everybody is lauding, not people who have lost their billions. There's not an attractiveness to those people anymore. And so it's the same here with Paul. It appears that when ministry was going relatively well, at least in the sense that Paul could travel around and preach to crowds of people, he was quite popular. And there were a lot of people who wanted to be there and be there for Paul and help him achieve these goals. But when he got jammed up, as we might say, and thrown into prison, everybody deserted him. Even these two guys, who he and Timothy probably thought they could count on, they weren't trustworthy friends. They weren't people that they could count on. But there was one person, maybe somebody he didn't think would be able to help him. And I was looking up, how far is it from Ephesus to Rome? It's about 2,500 kilometers. If you were to drive that today, it would still take you a couple of days of solid driving. So imagine several thousand years ago, making that kind of a journey would have been quite risky and arduous and take quite a long time. So for this friend, Onesiphorus, to undertake this journey really showed something about him. And so it's a contrast. On the one hand, you have people getting as far away as they can from Paul. And on the other hand, you have this guy coming from a long distance away to help Paul. And so that's why Paul says here twice, in verse 16 and verse 18, "May the Lord grant mercy." And then in verse 18, "May the Lord grant that he obtain mercy." And so Paul isn't in a position to do anything for us or for us. But he knows somebody who can, and that's the Lord. And the most important thing, of course, is that we obtain mercy from the Lord. And so Paul calls down this blessing on this faithful friend. And he does it twice. We know that God is called the Father of mercies if we read 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so part of this is Onesiphorus provided comfort for Paul, and now Paul is asking God to provide comfort for Onesiphorus in whatever he might be facing, either now or in the future. And of course, he says, from the Lord in that day, referring to that final day of judgment. We also read in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So Paul is repeating a biblical truth here, that God will have mercy on the merciful. So what are some marks or characteristics then, just from this passage, of a good friend? And I came up with 8 things that I saw from these verses about what made Onesiphorus a good friend. I don't want you to think that if your friends don't have all these qualities that they're not good friends. That's not what I'm trying to say. This is more a challenge for us individually to think about how we're friends to other people. Are we showing some of or all of these characteristics that Onesiphorus had? Because I think that that's why this is in this passage. Don't be like the guys who ran away. Be like the guy who went to where he was needed. That's the most important thing. But in order to get there, first of all, he had to be there when everybody else was gone. Onesiphorus was there when everybody else was gone. And a good friend is somebody who will be there through thick and thin, we say. Doesn't matter what's going on, you can count on that person. They'll be around. If you call them, they'll answer. And that reminds us of God's promise to Israel in Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And it reminds me of Sunday's sermon, which was so wonderful, because God has just completed this wonderful deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, but then he leaves them in an uncomfortable position, where there is the wilderness on one side, the sea on the other, the Egyptians chasing hot in pursuit. But they're not alone. The cloud signifying the presence of God is there. But because they're distracted by these other things, they can't see that. They don't get encouragement from it. And so sometimes that could be true for us. I know it hit me that it's true for me, that a lot of times I'm missing the fact that God and his Holy Spirit are with me in every situation that I'm going through. And it's the same here. God was with Paul, but he also brought Onesiphorus to be there too when everybody else was gone. The second thing is, a good friend is not ashamed of circumstances. Not ashamed of circumstances. We see that here in verse 16. He was not ashamed of my chains. So that could have been a reason why other people scattered, but not for Onesiphorus. That wasn't something that would make him be ashamed. And we read about Jesus, who left heaven and came down to earth. And he associated with people that the Pharisees said Jesus, what are you doing with these people? You shouldn't be anywhere near them. But Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. He wasn't ashamed to be associated with people that the good people of society wanted nothing to do with. And so we too shouldn't be ashamed to be with brothers that are in circumstances that are less than ideal. Paul would have been a pariah in society. Stay away from that guy. Kind of like when Peter was confronted about Jesus. What, you want to be up there on a cross next to him by admitting that you were with him? Probably not. Peter wasn't a good friend at that point, was he? And he realized that later on, of course. The third thing is that a good friend will often refresh us. Often refresh us. We read about this in verse 16. Because he often refreshed me. This is somebody who's always out there looking to see how they can help, how they can encourage, how they can bless. Sometimes we get complacent and we think, well, we help somebody out. Surely that's enough. And then we move on and look for the next thing. Sometimes we have to pour ourselves out to help other people. And that seems to be what Onesiphorus did. He was often of refreshment to Paul. And it reminded me of Lamentations 3:22. His mercies are new every morning. God doesn't say, well, I was merciful to you yesterday. I gave you the blessing yesterday. So today we're just going to skip over this and we'll resume again tomorrow. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The fourth thing is, and I already briefly mentioned this, he went out of his way. That trip from Ephesus to Rome, you had to be really committed to want to make that, to go look for somebody you didn't even know if you were going to be able to find. Maybe Paul would have already been executed at that point. But he was willing to do that because he knew that Paul needed somebody. And so a good friend will go out of their way to try to find that friend who's in need. Maybe it's late at night. Maybe it's a great distance away. We can think of any number of circumstances. But Onesiphorus' example was going 2,500 kilometers, a couple of thousand miles out of his way to see what he could do to help Paul. That meant leaving his household. We read about his household here in 16. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. So Onesiphorus's actions did impact his family, but they impacted them positively. Because his giving spirit was supported, because his family said, all right, we'll take care of things while you're gone. You go help Paul. I'm imagining, because the Bible treats this as a positive action. We don't know what they actually said. The fifth thing is, expends energy to find Paul. And by that, I think he tried to understand what Paul was going through. Why he could be a positive impact on Paul's life, even at this point where things seemed hopeless. And so we need to try to understand what people are going through in order to help them. And even when it seems like a lost cause, like what positive thing could come out of going to visit somebody who's about to be executed? He's going to be with Jesus anyway. It reminds me of Jesus going to look for the, or the story Jesus told about the shepherd going to look for the lost sheep. He didn't say, well, I've got 99 that are good and safe here. Let me take care of those guys. He just was thinking about the one that was out there wandering in danger, needing help. And that's the sheep that he was most concerned about at that time. So it's easy to put energy on relatively stable situations. It's a lot harder to disassociate ourselves from that and go after something that's unknown. Sixth thing was that a good friend will already be known for faithful service. A good friend will already be known for faithful service. At the end of verse 18, Paul says, you know how much he ministered at Ephesus. So Onesiphorus was already known as somebody who would do this. This was a pattern, a behavior, something that he did frequently, that nobody would be surprised to hear, hey, you know what? Onesiphorus showed up. He traveled 2,000 miles. Nobody's going to be like, what? What? Onesiphorus? He did that? I can't believe it. They would say, oh yeah, that sounds like something he would do. Praise God. So a good friend will want to be that person that it's not astonishing when somebody hears that you did something for somebody like that, because you've already established a pattern of being that person. Again, going back to Jesus, that was the testimony that God gave of his son. He said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. God knew how Jesus was going to act because there was a pattern. The seventh thing is that he ministered in a full way. Says, you know how much he ministered. It wasn't something little that he did. The word much is used here to indicate that he did a lot. And so when we minister to somebody, we should be ministering, not worried about how much it's going to take, but willing to pour out what is required. And then the last thing is serving, not expecting anything in return. Onesiphorus wasn't going there because he thought, wow, Paul's going to be able to give me this wealth, or Paul's going to be able to establish me as a leader somewhere. He was going there because he was a friend. He wanted to encourage Paul. And so when we serve, we need to serve in the same way. We love other people because we've been loved, not because we expect them to love us in return. 1 John 4:10. He loved us before we loved him. We know that there was nothing good in us when Jesus loved us. And yet he did it wholeheartedly and unreservedly. We're told in Philippians 2:6 that he emptied himself. He didn't hold anything back. In conclusion, friendship with other believers is a mandatory part of being a Christian. We're told that it's a characteristic that's observable by the world. By this all men shall know you're my disciples, Jesus says, John 13:35, that you love one another. Can we love without friendship? Or can we have friendship without love? I don't think so. I think the two go together. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, And 1 John 4:21 says, "This commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brothers." May God cause his love to flow through us to our brothers and sisters, just as his love flowed through Onesiphorus for us to Paul. And there's a couple of hymns that I thought really spoke to this. We sung the one of them. And just that opening line, "Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole." Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. There's also a hymn by John Newton. "One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love." And then he talks about men, when raised to lofty stations, often know their friends no more, slight and scorn their poor relations, though they valued them before. But our Savior always owns those whom he redeemed with groans. Oh, for grace our hearts to soften, teach us, Lord, at length to love. We, alas, forget too often what a friend we have above. But when home our souls are brought, we will love thee as we ought. Finally, a hymn by James Small. "I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twined those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever." And back to the hymn that we usually sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." This is the friend above all friends. And what a comfort it is to know that. So I just hope that you're encouraged as I was, that it doesn't rely on us, but it relies on us understanding the love that God has shown for us, so that we can show that love to other people, just like Onesiphorus did for Paul. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your wondrous love. We didn't deserve anything except condemnation and hell, but you loved us and you bound us to yourself so we couldn't fall away. You hold us in the palm of your hand. We just thank you for your wonderful love. We pray that you would help us to be full of love and gratitude, and that it would spill out in our relationships with our brothers and sisters. As we remember how much we've been loved, we will love them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.